Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info at LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, August 8th.
Good morning.
And Rachel and I are indeed on the air in Los Angeles. This is the second largest market as far as radio and media.
Oh, wow.
And what can I say? We are in L.A. We are on the air. So there you go.
I mean, I'm happy to be here.
We're no Ryan Seacrest, but maybe one day.
No, we're more like an off-market, like a like a discount Ryan Seacrest.
Exactly. You get us on sale at
TJ
Maxx.
Yeah, I wouldn't call us Walmart per se, but we're like the Kmart of Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, and just because he's more famous doesn't mean he's got a better quality show, folks. It's all about being there at the right time.
Doesn't mean he's a better person than us.
Yeah, yeah.
It means he's making cool. A lot more money, but like, who needs all that?
Who needs all the money, right, Rachel?
Who needs all that responsibility and freedom? I mean,
so yeah, you know, I mean, I think that money's a good thing. What the hell? Anyway, so today we're going to have, Rachel, we're going to have a matchmaker calling in.
Amazing.
And we've had a couple on the show and different niches, different markets and stuff. But this would be interesting to hear. I'm always interested in dating, relationships. Everybody seems to be interested in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I think for a lot of people, they just can't seem to get it right.
Right. Yeah, know? Yeah. And once they do get together with someone, then the relationship sucks, you know? So it's
right.
Not just the dating part.
Well, we've kind of mastered the whole concept of customization with everything in our lives. I mean, and like instant gratification down to like how we eat, how we shop, I mean, how we live our lives. Everything is on an app. It's very catered to us. We can
right.
We can pick our television shows, what we want to see, what we don't. It makes sense to have something like that for dating and relationships, and to have people come on and be like, you need to, you know, be more careful with how you choose your mate. And here's an app for that. You know, you can design your mate in an app.
Like a dress or something, like a hairstyle,
or,
you know,
yeah,
right?
Whatever. I mean,
yeah, try it on for size. But, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of controversy about online dating. Some people like it. Some think it sucks.
Well,
so
I think,
knows?
Well, you know, I think as time goes on, well, it will be more of the norm to date online. I just think it'll be funny in the future when people be like, oh my God, you met in person? Gross.
Yeah,
you
right.
You know what I mean? Like, what is that like? Actual human contact? Disgusting. You know,
yeah.
So I just think that, I mean, there are marriages from Tinder. There are divorces from JDate. So, I mean,
yeah,
it goes,
right?
You know.
So you don't
goes,
know. You never
it
know.
It goes both ways.
I know. I'm wondering, I guess people must connect on Tinder if it's so popular, right? But isn't
I mean,
it
I'm
more
sure
for
more,
younger people to hook up and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a Tinder profile, not to brag, but no, I think that meeting, like with Facebook and everything, I mean, before, like back in the day when our parents were growing up, they didn't have the luxury of keeping in contact with like people they knew from their childhood or
right.
People they had met instant. You know, there was no, oh, I met you, I'm going to be in contact with you forever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
With Facebook. So I think that, I just think that dating and relationships were so much different back then. There was
oh,
a lot
yeah.
more, you know, in you really got to know someone,
right?
And now it just seems that, I don't know, it just, I've never met someone online and dated them. I personally have never liked that, but I've also never had a problem meeting guys.
Right, so, right. So you never had to go out and look for them.
No, I've actually had quite the opposite problem.
That's cool.
Too much of a problem meeting
right
guys. I need to stop.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I mean, I liked when Molly came here with the... cannabis dating and stuff like that. So that's,
well, that's a very niche market too, because right. I think also, you know, especially like, let's say you're a cigarette smoker and you're having a hard time finding love. I mean,
right.
You need to go,
that's hard to find.
You need to find people who enjoy what you know what I'm saying? So it makes sense for right. cannabis to have its own, matchmaker, because yeah. it is really I think it is very much a bonding yeah. activity. I love smoking.
And it's a lifestyle, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you can't have
yes.
that lifestyle with someone who's against it.
Right. I mean, at least someone who is against, exactly. They may not participate in it, but if they're 100% against it, it won't work. Mm. But I mean, that goes with anything. That can go with exercise. It can go with, you know, the type of food you eat. It can go with
right.
whatever, religion.
Yeah, politics even.
Politics. There are people divorcing over their political
yeah,
views, which is interesting.
That's crazy, right?
It's nuts.
But it does happen. People are really passionate
about
it. But
that's why
that
it's
stuff.
So important, I think. I think, you know, that's why it's important to really, you know, get to know someone before you legally bind yourself to them.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes you want to get to know them before you even have sex with them, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's a good... I'm a proponent for that. I think I always try to tell my girlfriends, don't sleep with them right away.
Yeah.
Because it's just... You really... I just think that it just... I don't know. I think it's so important. I think for men, they are... They'll be attracted. I mean, men will sleep with anything, most men, right?
Yeah, right.
Shamefully.
Yeah.
But I think men get attracted, like, to really get them emotionally invested, you have to force them to get to know you
right.
with your clothes on.
That's
you
true,
know
right?
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To make them care about you so that, right. you know, when you do take your clothes off, they care to call you again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, you know, I mean, I like that theory and it works with some people.
But I also think, but at the same time, people meet, they have sex and
they have
together
sex
forever.
Right.
But I
so
am coming from
saying.
A place of most men
right,
that
right.
I know.
No, you're right. And I tend to agree. I think if the woman makes you wait a little bit, then it makes her special in a way.
Well, it just also, when you sleep as a woman, I think, and this is not a disclaimer for all women, I don't want to alienate them because this may not always be the case, but in my opinion, when you are a woman and you sleep with a man too quickly, it devalues you. Mm. Not all men, but just that probably thoughts going through their mind is, maybe she's not interested in a relationship because she seems to be, so, you know, like, so, like she, maybe she's just interested in sex. Or does she do this with all the guys that she meets? I mean, these are things
that's
that
true,
go
right?
through guys' minds that make it, like, you could be the prettiest girl in the world, but if you do something like that, it's like, oh, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. I mean, that's one thing to consider. If she does it with everybody and she does it with you, she may be quick to do this when you're not looking. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's all a matter of, you know, finding people who, I mean, that's what I'm saying is, like, if a girl is willing to do that, then you have to be, like, her values and morals have to match yours. So,
right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
It's no, just, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I know guys sometimes will just bail out if you're not going to have sex with them right away.
But that's the thing. I think that's great.
It's a good
honestly,
way
I think
to
that's
filter
great.
Them out,
exactly.
Right?
I yeah, think because yeah. like a, I you know, certain male comics won't talk to me because they or give me the time of day once they find out I have a boyfriend.
Really?
And some don't even give a fuck. It'll make them even want to be my friend even more, and they want to try harder. But it's just like men are weird. You know what I'm saying?
They are.
It's all motivated by sex.
It's all motivated by
it's
sex.
It's so fucking annoying. For me, it's like I'm motivated for independence, and men are just like, I want to get in her pants. And I'm like, I just want to pay to provide for the lifestyle that I want. And
right.
They're just like, I just want to get in your pants. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah, but you have to understand, I mean, we're constantly victims or enslaved by these hormones, this testosterone that makes you go crazy, you know? I mean, look at the shit that crazy shit that people do, you know? It's just unbelievable. And there's a story here. Maybe we'll get to it later. But essentially, that's how we're wired, you know? So men feel like shit about it, you know? And then it's like, why do I have to apologize for what I am? I'm a male human being, and that's how I was created. It's not that I want to all the time. It's actually kind of tiring to think about sex all the time and all that, and how you would get hurt to bed and that person to bed. And it's, I don't think many guys want to be like that. And we have to really work it to be able to control that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Imagine if you were like totally distracted by sex all the time. I mean, that's crazy.
I'm glad. Maybe it's my depression sometimes, but I don't have that. Like, I'm not constantly.
Yeah, I know.
Distracted, but I don't know. I mean, I think you know how they say men are from Mars, women are from Venus. But at the same time, there are women who have that urge too.
There's a lot of them. You know? Yeah,
that are. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think that for those who have a hard time finding a partner, you know, you really look at your choices and mate and what you're, you know, and your decisions in dating. And that will tell you why you're fucking, I mean, personally. I've never had a hard time getting a guy to be my boyfriend. But that's because I approach dating differently than probably most of my girlfriends. Mm. Like, I don't sleep with guys right away.
Yeah.
I really want to get to know someone before I spend my time with them because oftentimes they turn out to be pieces of shit anyways. But I mean, at least I waited, right? And at least I made them pay for it. No, but I think I should have waited even longer. I made a guy wait 6 months one time. Because I knew he was that type of guy.
6 months is a long time. I have to salute him.
Yeah.
She just called and hung up again. But our guest is calling in, so we're not going to get too deep into a conversation until she calls right back. But I know what you're saying. I mean, 6 months, though. Wow, you know. He must have really liked her.
I knew he was used to getting girls would throw themselves at him. Yeah. And he could get any girl.
Oh.
So I just was like, well, if he really likes me, he'll get to know me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And he waited 6 months.
Yeah.
Was it worth it for him?
It was 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
Well, that's more like it. I've been through that one.
Sorry. It was 3 months. I forgot. It was
6 months is a long time. Nobody would stick around.
It was 3 months, and we dated for like 9 months. We weren't a good match together.
Yeah. Well,
but he respected me.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good. Yeah, because you know it depends what kind of relationship you're trying to attract. You know, if you just want to be dating,
3 months is a long time to not sleep with someone in today's world.
Right,
I feel like
So it's a big sacrifice. I guess that's a good way to test
three
whether
weeks
he wants
is a
to
long
be with
time.
You. That's true. Right?
Think about it.
I know.
Can you imagine all that traffic you sat in for 3 months just going to a girl's house just for her to be like, I'm not sleeping with you.
And, can you imagine if she had slept before with guys a lot sooner than that and then she decided, well, no, I'm not going to sleep with anybody before 3 months. And you're like, oh, fuck. You know, I mean, these guys didn't have to wait and I have to wait.
Oh, so you're saying if the guy knew that?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, I don't know. If you look at it that way, then that guy
Yeah, but
like,
how could he know? That's right. Yeah. Who cares? Anyway, so our matchmaker is going to be calling in just a moment. A lot of stuff is going on, and I guess Trump's rating continued to fall. And apparently they're saying 7 out of 10 people don't want him to tweet anymore.
I'm surprised it's only 7 out of 10.
It makes sense.
It's always the 30%.
The country that supports him, yeah.
And that's worse than an F.
I know.
So basically but they're the least educated people of our country.
Well, you're making generalization. I don't know who they are.
Trump supporters are vastly uneducated. And yeah, highly religious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Is that really the case?
I believe so. I think there's a statistic that Trump supporters have less than, like, I think a GED, a lot of them.
Nah, I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. I mean, there's a lot of politicians. There's a lot of prominent people around the country that support
Google,
I think that's
Trump
just like a stereotype.
Google Trump supporters and the average, like their school equivalent. Google Trump supporters and like the average
IQ or something.
Not
or
average
education?
IQ, but like education level.
Right.
Yeah, it'll tell you. Most of them probably didn't go to college, let alone high school or finish high school.
Yeah.
Lower than their college education, I think, is lower than any other candidate. Like lower than Hillary, Bernie, and probably most of the other people.
Mm.
Unfortunately, okay. I wish it was.
Well, I'd like
stereotype.
To see some firm, solid.
Are you kidding? Have you looked at Trump supporters? You think you would, any of them ever went step foot inside a university? Doubt it. I doubt they left the state in which they are voting from.
I beg to differ. I've seen a lot of people that are not.
I'm talking about the people that are left. I'm talking about the people that are left now. I bet you most of them are uneducated.
All right, so not all the voters is what you're saying.
No, I think, of course, the people that... Well, we don't even know, truthfully, the people...
Let's go back to this for a second because our guest is calling in.
Okay.
So we'll group our thoughts and come back to that one in just a second. Wow. Good morning. We're going to be joined by Samira Sullivan. Samira, are you with us?
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I am in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What's it like there? Do you guys have good weather now? Or is it too hot?
You know, it's hot and it's humid.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. It's hot, but it's not like Texas hot. So
right. Or like us. Yeah, we get very hot summers too, but so you're on the right side of the country. Is that where you grew up in New York?
No, I'm actually from Houston, Texas, and then lived in Portland, Oregon for a long time, and I traveled all over the West Coast. So I do come to LA and San Francisco a lot, and then now I live in Manhattan.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, I guess, you know, if you like New York, you like New York, some people live by it. And but, you know, we're more the laid back kind. You know, I'm sure when you come here, you go, God, where's the action, you know, compared to New York?
Oh, God, it is so slow.
It's a very sleepy city, you know. I mean, we've got the second largest population, yet it's a sleepy town. At 10 o'clock, everything closes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, people take their time, and it's just very, very calm, and people take their time, and they move very slow.
Yeah, right. Now, so we're going to get to you're a matchmaker. So before we get into it, I wanted to know, do you work with people in L.A. too, all over the country, or how does it work for you?
Yes. So I work with a lot of clients in L.A. I work basically all over the country, but mostly in major cities. So, you know, L.A., New York City, Boston, Portland, San Francisco, you know, Houston and Dallas. Those are my major cities that I work in. And Arizona, too. You know, Phoenix and Scottsdale.
Those
are the major places where I do work.
So you travel there and you see people one-on-one?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a pretty decent database in those cities. We're always recruiting. We have recruiters in those cities. You know, I do a lot of media stuff and Facebook. We get a lot of people off Facebook, LinkedIn. So we do different kinds of recruiting, get clients from all over, and we're always, always filling up our database with women because I work mostly with men. We do have programs for women too, but, you know, I'm always encouraging women to join our free database.
Right, yeah. Because if you just catered to women, I think the business would be pretty slow, you know? I mean, you know,
I cater to men. So
right, right.
Men pay me. And the women are free, and then we have programs for women too, you know, as clients, but it's different.
Right. No, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Is, is more for men.
Right, right. And that's the way it's always been. You know, men are the chasers. You know, they got to invest in, they got to invest themselves in the relationship too. And that's what Rachel and I were talking about a few minutes ago. Yeah. So, Samira, when did you start this? How did you become interested in this?
I started this in 2012. I was working for an international matchmaking agency, and I have 2 degrees, one in education, the other one is in psychology. I was a recruiter in aerospace and defense industry, and basically one day was recruited by an international matchmaking agency, and I've always been a matchmaker at heart. So I started with them, and I didn't like the way they worked. I didn't like their process. I didn't like the way they were matching their clients. So I started taking things in my own hands and helping people and coaching them and helping them with their image and all. And I basically just left that company and started my own business.
Oh, wow.
Sounds cool. And that's so now, and how long have you had your company now?
I've had it for 5 years now.
So 5 years, okay. So yeah. Lasting Connections is the name, right?
Of yes, your agency? Lasting Connections.
Okay, so you guys can follow us during the call here. The website is lastingconnections.net, not .com, because that's the one they gave me, and there's no website there. So lastingconnections.net is where I'm seeing you. And you guys can go and find out more about how you can get connected with Samira. So I would imagine you have a few more people working with you, but you also make yourself available.
Yes. So for the elite clients who work with me, you know, all my clients who are my elite matchmaking clients, I work with them exclusively. I have recruiters who are working in the back end. They're doing the work. But I am the one who is the person that they're in contact with. They can text me anytime. Not that anybody abuses that ever. But I am the one in contact with them. I'm the one presenting the matches. I'm the one getting back after the dates. I am the one interviewing the ladies.
Right.
They're paying me big bucks for this. I want to be involved and not pass this on to somebody else.
Right.
Yes, I have recruiters and I have all kinds of help, but I am the one who works with the client. So
yeah.
I'm involved in my business.
Very cool. So it's amazing, you know, because in the old days, they used to have those old ladies, all the yentas, matchmaking and stuff, you know.
Like
and,
in Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
That's,
you know,
and
all be from the same town, yeah. From the closest
and
town.
No, and then their mom was a matchmaker, their grandmother. It was right. A generation thing. It ran in the family.
Right. But now, Samira, you have access to the entire population, so you have a lot more to draw from, right?
Yes. And you know what's funny? It's true. And my mom, my mom has made matches. My grandma was a matchmaker, wow. You know, unpaid matchmaker in her community. And then her mother was also a matchmaker. So it kind of runs in her background, in her genes.
That's awesome.
But
I'm not mean to brag, but I have successfully matched one couple, and they got married and had a kid.
Good. Well, then you qualify.
No.
You qualify. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I my cousin went to the comedy show the other night. Uh-huh. I do stand up comedy, and it was all women on the show. And afterwards, he's like, he told me the two that he liked, right?
Right.
And I texted the girl that I thought would be better, you know, that I thought I would like to rather see with him. And I was like, be careful what you wish for, because I've successfully set up people and now they're married and have a kid. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You know?
So So
I can see why it's a good career and a passion, because there's nothing better than seeing people that you thought would be great together find love and, you know, live their lives together. So I can see why. That's a thing.
Yes, and it feels really good when you are able to, like, for example, I am always involved in the relationship. Like, I'm always involved once they get in the relationship. And a lot of my clients feel the value in that, because a lot of people have communication issues that come up within the first 3 months or 6 months, and they don't communicate with each other. But when I'm there and I'm getting feedback from each of them, and then, you know, letting them know, no, this person is really into you, but they're just not used to this. That's their pattern. Let's talk about this. This is what they need to tweak. This is what they need to change. And so when I get in the middle and I'm able to help coach them through this difficult period, which a lot of people don't make it through, that's where they really find the value, is once they're in a relationship, how to maintain that relationship.
Right.
And how important communication style is, and find and making sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
I'm a communications major, so even it's so important how you communicate. It's if everyone just went and studied communications and like interpersonal, yeah. You know, I feel like we'd be better in relationships too, right? But it's so true. It's all
that's the biggest thing.
That's all it comes. I you know, and it's weird because I went to school for communications, but I have been in relationships where I find it hard to communicate with that person for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it really is. It really does come down to how you communicate. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right?
And you learn that from your childhood. You learn that from your parents, you know, the way you were raised. And and sometimes it's really hard to change that. But when you are a matchmaker and a coach and you're able to effectively help people, that's when you're really making, you know, you're helping and you're giving value.
Because
that's
these people don't know that how they're communicating may not be effective because they were never told until they got into a relationship with someone. And that's when you find out all the best and worst things about you, isn't it?
Exactly. There's a lot of them, you know, a lot of bad communicators out there. And I think it's great to be able to offer something like that and to help people. And it feels good when you're able to help somebody go through, you know, something that they have been through in the past, but get over that obstacle and be in a successful relationship and maintain that. I just feel amazing.
Do you have an opinion in if do you think men or women are better at or worse at communicating, or is it pretty even?
You know, I feel like women are. I feel like both men and women are different, right? So in their communication style, but I feel like women just sometimes don't communicate well in what they want, and they think that the man's going to understand what they want. And you got to understand that you can't give a guy a hint. You have to tell him how it is.
Right.
You have to be very clear.
Exactly. I think women sometimes expect men to be mind readers.
They
right?
do. They yeah. do.
And again, go ahead.
And all men want to do is please women. If they care about you, they want to please you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get criticized and they kind of shut down. They're kind of like puppy dogs.
It's totally true. It's totally true, you know.
And women, sometimes I feel like women come from such an emotional place sometimes that the communication gets lost in the emotion. So not that that's bad, but that, you know, communicating what your asks are get lost in, you know, name calling or blame or whatever, you know, the communication, you know, what is going on. But at the end of the day, you're just trying to convey like what your needs are. So that can get lost in translation.
Yeah, and you're not doing it the right way. You're getting angry. And that's one thing. I saved a relationship recently because she was just not understanding. She just wasn't speaking to him in the way she should have and wasn't communicating it. And was hoping that he or mine.
I read an article, you know, there's like Time always puts out these articles, or like there's always articles online are like, what are the secrets to, like, you know, because it seems everywhere we turn nowadays, people are getting divorced, or, you know, just as much as people are getting married, the divorce rate is still, you know, pretty high. And I think one of the underlying themes that I read was, from both sides, people said that what made their relationship last was kindness. They found the other person to be, no matter what, yes, they had problems, yes, they had arguments, but they were always kind, like, they were always kind to each other, meaning they didn't, when they had the arguments, they didn't call each other names, they didn't blame each other, they didn't hold resentment, they were always coming from a place of compassion and kindness.
Right.
Which is hard to do, right, when you live with someone.
How
do you be kind with someone when, you know?
Sabrina,
don't even get over it. I mean, you can get mad, like, okay, for a couple of minutes, and then you're fine, and you let it go, and you don't go to bed angry. But I feel like some people just hold on to that resentment for too long, and that's not a good thing because it builds up, and that's what causes people to, you know, just basically detach from each other. And that's
a lot of that. I feel like a lot of that resentment can come from lack of trust. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Samira Sullivan, and she's the founder and CEO of Lasting Connections. That's a matchmaking service, and you're all around the country, so that's awesome. There's a couple of questions that actually came in your publicity, and I thought these would be awesome because these have to do with first dates. And I find that first dates are very like...
interviews.
Yeah, and they're very difficult for many people, you know, and they don't know how to behave and all that. Why do people have so much trouble with, you know, knowing how to behave on the first date?
Sure. I feel like because you have so many expectations and you're just stressed out about the fact, you know, what is this person going to think? Rejection, you know, am I going to be rejected? Is this person going to like me? Am I good enough? All that. Those questions come to you, especially if it's like a first date after a long time, if you haven't dated for a while. First dates are nerve-wracking for a lot of people, and for some people, they're not. And more practice you have, the better you get. You know, you just sometimes you just don't know how to be because you don't know what the other person is going to be like and what they want. And so you're trying to please each other and you want to be liked. So you have a lot of pressure on a first date.
That's
and
true.
So I always tell people, you know, talk on the phone a little bit before a first date. So you get to know each other. You've already broken the ice and then you meet in person. It's easier. But not everybody's a good phone person.
Right.
So... No, you have to balance that out. But, you know, there's things you can talk about on a first date. Like, you got to just stay away from politics. You got to stay away from religion. You got to stay away from anything controversial.
yeah.
And just stay on your passions. Like, what do you like to do? Ask. There's a list of questions I always tell people. It's not like an interview type question. You ask a question, but that basically creates a conversation.
Exactly.
Like, what are some places you've traveled to? And then that basically opens up the conversation into food, cultures,
right.
You know, all different things if you know how to navigate through that. And I feel like people should just kind of get to know each other and their interests and styles and how they, you know, like how do you spend your, like, what did you do today? And that will open up a lot of conversations and things like that instead of talking about each other's belief systems and stuff like that.
Right, but let me ask you this. During the first date, is that the time to sort of like take the conversation at least beyond just platonic? You know, I mean, how do you show the other person? Because, you know, you talk about travel, you talk about this, like that, but it's almost like just a social conversation. How do you actually cross that line of like...
Like, are like you talking I'm about, interested do you see, in like, you. How do you, like, are you talking about, like, what do you mean? Like, how are you talking about?
What I'm saying is, rather than talk in general about things, talk more specifically about how you feel about each other so
on
far.
On the first date.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, you just met each other, right? So body language says a lot. So the woman's touching her hair, you're talking to each other, you're sitting across from each other and he puts his hand on your hand. In middle of the date while you guys are talking, you're having a good time. So body language is everything. Is she open to you? Is she leaning more towards you? Is he looking at you? Is he making a lot of eye contact? Are you guys having some flirtatious, you know, that like, are you having like, are you flirting with each other a little bit?
Right,
is that going on? And that's all in the present moment, right? When you're sitting across from each other, you can feel the chemistry. And it's about your body language. So if it's going that way, that's great. I think what you're trying to say is how do you get to the next step to get a second date? And I always tell the guys, I always tell them, if you like her, you enjoyed your date, you know, somewhere during the date, you can bring the topic up about, hey, oh my God, I'm having such a great time. We have to do this again.
Right.
What are some great, you know, we should go try this next time. Or
sounds
you know,
great. So show your interest at least, right?
Yes, definitely interest. And if you like something to get, like you both are, you know, like bungee jumping. I mean, this is just an example. I don't recommend going bungee jumping on a second date. But like if you both like hiking, for example, you can say, oh, my God, we should go for the hike next time we meet each other. We should go grab a bite and then go for a hike or something like that, you know, or go for a hike and then go for a bite around the corner or something. Like whatever you like to do. And she likes to, you can suggest that for a second date and see what she says.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, it's amazing, amazing. So, you know, when you, I mean, these things make sense, but when they come from someone who knows, it helps, you know. So, Samira Sullivan, Lasting Connections, how can people find you otherwise? Social media, do you have any time for that at all?
Yes, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's Samira Connect, Samira Sullivan, Lasting Connections. You can find me there. And then, of course, my website, lastingconnections.net.
Awesome. Samira, you're full of information. You're a lot of fun. And anybody Thanks. That wants to be attached or connected somehow, matched, let's put it that way, give Samira a try. You've been doing it for a while. It's in the family. You've got a database. You've got the personality and the drive. I don't see how anybody can go wrong. So,
thank you guys so much. Have a
course.
Great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
I'm trying to find her on Twitter right now.
Mm. All you have to do is go to her website, and then you'll find her, right?
I found her.
Yeah. I know. Very cool. Very cool. So, you know, I mean, obviously, we're always going to have these differences between men and women when it comes to dating and relationships. And we have to really, I think, embrace those differences rather than try to fight each other.
Well, I just think that unless you're raised a certain way in your family where your family's communication style is healthy.
Right.
I mean, not that there aren't fights and, you know, problems or whatever, but if your parents teach you that, because where else, you're not going to learn it at school.
Right.
They don't teach this at school. Yeah. Although they should, you know what I mean? There are things that I feel like interpersonal skills. I mean, a lot of people, when they, even if they don't go to school,
right,
but at least if they went to like middle school or high school, whatever, like they should have more of that.
Right.
How to communicate, how to interact with people of the opposite sex, how to interact with people who are transgender. I mean, even like that would be something that I think as a kid, not necessarily as adults, because we can't right. teach an old dog new tricks, but I think that, you know, how to communicate in a healthy way, how to, you know, because think about it, we go to high school, we go to middle school or whatever, and then these kids are put out into the real world and they realize, whoa, you know, like I have to interact with people I've never even seen before, you know, and not to their own, you know, ignorance or whatever, but it's just to have these skills where you learn communication style,
right,
and whatever as a kid would be, I think, helpful even later on, especially when you're trying to find a partner. Because at the end of the day, you know, you could want to be with someone very, you know, you could want to be with someone, they're the love of your life, but if there's not a good communication style or a healthy communication, if there's not trust or whatever, and if you guys don't share the same values or morals, you guys are not going to make it.
No, you're not going to get along. You need to have similar values,
it's,
I think.
It's so hard.
You know,
I mean,
it doesn't have to be in everything, but in the important things.
Of course,
you
can't agree on everything.
Morality,
you got to keep it interesting. But
yeah,
of course, like, you can disagree, but as long as you guys are, as long as the communication style is healthy and you are kind to each other, because there's nothing worse than like the person that you love and they say something so nasty to you. Like, that stuff stays with you. You know
right.
what I mean? More
That's
so
true.
Than even like just as much as being physically hurt. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
still, because like, I still remember things that ex-boyfriends have said to me, you know, and I'm like,
and
that
sticks,
even if
right?
it's not true, it's like,
yeah,
they fucking said that to me, where and the guy that I'm with now would never say those things, you know what I mean? I don't care how, he would get so mad, he would never say those things that some of them have said to me. So it's like, and that's the thing, they had a right to be upset whatever they said, but it, maybe if they didn't, instead of calling me a name or vice versa, like, I'm not perfect either, but what, as soon as you get into a relationship and that style of communication is established, meaning like you call someone a name,
right,
that's how you're going to communicate, unless you nip it in the butt right there. That is how that relationship moving forward is going to go. I'm sorry, unless
that's
like
true.
It's just you create this pattern. And I think that a lot more people, like, I think it's a good thing, like in the Catholic Church and even in the Jewish religion, before you get married, you meet with the rabbi, before you get married, you meet with the priest, and you have these like couple counseling type of things. And I think that's great.
Right.
I think it's healthy.
Yeah. They kind of prepare them. It was just like the woman we
exactly,
had here. Remember?
Exactly. So
you got women ready to be a bride.
Married, I mean, my boyfriend asked, I think I asked him this question, or maybe he asked me, and we both were like, you first. And I was like, are you afraid of getting married? Or I think he asked me, I was like, I'm not, I'm just afraid of getting married to the wrong person.
To the wrong person, right?
You know? Yeah. So.
Exactly, because it's actually a great thing if you're with the right person.
Right.
You know?
And so many people are like, how do I know if you're the, you know? And I feel like a lot of times if you're with someone and you're asking that, then that's probably an indication that you're probably not with the right person.
Right.
Because
no,
when
absolutely.
You know, you don't even question it. Like right. You wake up in the morning and you put on a t-shirt and you know it's your favorite t-shirt. There's no question about it. You're not going to, you know, how do I know if this is my favorite t-shirt? You
right.
know if
you're
that's your fucking
sure,
favorite shirt.
Right.
Right? So.
That's true. You don't have too much think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true, you know. Actually, it's interesting because, you know, people are like, you know, it's like it lasts a lifetime sometimes. Like in the family, we just had a loss in the family, you know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this woman that the great friends of the family, and she passed after she had cancer. But the thing is that I was asking my dad, I said, so how long have you known them, you know, that couple? Just 70 years.
Yeah.
70
yeah.
friggin' years these people were mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my parents were too.
Yeah.
So it's a long time.
Well,
that's not how long they've been together. That's how long they've known each other.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, still, like, my grandparents were married, I think, close to 60 years or something, which is very rare for people to get to now. I mean, 60 years is a long time, meaning you probably had to get married at 20.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, and live to 80 at least. So I think we, just like anything else in our lives, we want to make our parents happy. And a
right.
lot of times we marry people who we think our parents would like, not necessarily who will make us happy in the long term. Just
yeah.
like jobs.
I did that.
Like,
I'm guilty of that the
like
first
careers,
time around.
Just like anything else, we try to make other people happy. But at the end of the day, those our parents aren't going home to sleep with this person.
Exactly.
Every night, right?
They don't have to deal with that.
I dated someone that on paper, my parents...
On paper, it looks great,
on
right?
On paper, my parents would have been like, that is the man I want my daughter to marry. But in real life, he was the worst person.
Right?
He sucked.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean... I mean, he was so bad. The girl before me that dated him broke up with him a month before their marriage. I mean, that should have been an indication to me. Like, she
right.
was about to leave him at the altar. Like, I thought this was a great idea. No, but I hope he's happy. no, but I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, like, I think that when it comes, just like anything else, I think the person you spend the rest of your life with, that decision is super important. And,
right.
you know, you got to think about yourself and you got to think about the other person. And truthfully, is this person going to make me happy
right.
10 years from now, 10 days from now, 10 minutes from now, you know, a lifetime from now, whatever. So,
right. Yeah. And people, many people last a long time.
But
as
also
a couple.
Different cultures have a different view on marriage. Like,
right.
I feel like in America, our marriage is based on happiness.
Happiness.
Right.
Exactly.
And in other cultures, it's just based on, okay, this is,
that's
you guys
practical.
Are meant to be together. Exactly.
Right.
Practically, I would have been married.
Raise a family.
Guy. Exactly.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
come from similar, you guys come from similar backgrounds, but that person may not be as religious and that person may not care about their families, you know, whatever. So,
right.
I think marriage and dating is changing. And
yeah.
it's, you know,
oh, it's changed a lot also.
And it's different in other cultures. And I think the internet and that has changed the culture of dating, and also the cost of living, and our you know, people are getting married later nowadays.
Right.
Women are having babies and, you know, getting married later because women don't need men. You know, back in the day, you know, women
yeah.
and men need it because men were the breadwinner.
Right.
They were the ones who had the jobs. They had the opportunities. They were able to go out and do that. Whereas now women can do just as much as what men can do. They don't even need a man to have a baby. They
right.
can go to a lab and have a baby.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So.
And the dating is different, too, because way back in our parents' times, you know, most of the dating, most of the matchmaking would happen within the same town,
right.
even the same neighborhood, you know,
I mean,
because
the people, high
that
school
was
sweethearts.
Your focus.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
was your, like, that was like where you had the exposure.
That was your world.
And now you can choose from millions of people.
Exactly. You can go on Facebook.
So, yes, it's
select,
different,
exactly.
you know.
Different.
It doesn't get a lot of weight, I think. Marriage does not is not... It's not considered as important in our society as it used to be.
I read a really great article that I just thought it was brilliant. It was the title of it was called "Marriage is not getting married is not an accomplishment. Getting married."
Right.
They said marriage, if you can
stay in a marriage.
But that's women, true. A lot of women that I, most of my friends are married.
Right.
And a lot of them, all they wanted to do was get married.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, anyone would marry you.
Right.
Anyone would walk down to the courthouse and you can find some dude off the street and they would marry you.
Right.
But are you going to stay married?
Right.
I have friends who are already on divorces. They're single parents. They're on their, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, wow.
They're going to be on their second divorce, and I haven't even gotten married yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you have to think about these things. You really do, you know? And I think, and the reason I'm saying marriage is taken more lightly now is because we have a 50% divorce rate.
And that's the thing, I think women, the media fantasize, we fantasize and romanticize marriage in the media. And especially with, like, on social media, anytime you see someone get engaged, there's the post, there's right. a million likes. You know, it's constructed. It's this idea that marriage is a fairy tale, getting married. But it's not. It's fucking right. real life. You have to live with someone every day for the rest of your life. You have to split everything with them. Every decision you make, you have to consider another person's feelings. I mean, it is the least selfish thing to be a part of, but people are fucking selfish. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so it's true. I mean, your observations are right on.
I just feel that if any, you know, I'm not an expert, but I have dated a guy. I've been in relationships since I was 15 years old because I was that. I just love being in relationships. I watched Disney princess movies, and all I wanted to do was find my prince. So I had to start early, you know.
Right.
And I've kissed a lot of freaking toads. I have. I will admit it. And but yeah, I feel that I've really gotten to know how men react and the patterns and. You know, and they're so predictable. You guys are so predictable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
whatever.
From your perspective, from our perspective, you're pretty predictable too.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we should know each other by now after fucking thousands of years.
Well, I mean, I just think some people have a clue and some people don't. Some people are always, you know, the girl that doesn't value herself, doesn't have a job, doesn't have any dreams or aspirations, and, you know, can't get a man to lock her down. She's like, why am I still single? Well, take a hard look in the mirror. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
nobody's interested.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, it's very true. But, I mean, my first marriage was totally good on paper, you know, Jewish. That was at a time when my parents would pressure me not
to marry outside.
I feel like
that's it. In the Jewish culture, the first thing when you meet someone, I have a boyfriend, are they Jewish?
Right.
Yes? No. Yes? Great. You're going to get married. I wish you a happy life.
Or whatever happens. You but know? with a non-Jewish one, no.
Yeah, they don't even care. They say if you tell them they're not Jewish, they're no longer interested.
Exactly, and they pretend like that person doesn't exist if you're in a relationship with them. At least that's what my mom did, and that was very uncomfortable. So I don't know what to tell you. At any rate, folks, we're just about out of time. Check out, again, Samira Sullivan. The website is lastingconnections.net. Don't forget the net. And I'm seeing here Sinead O'Connor just posted a tearful video about
being she's up in New Jersey somewhere,
mentally
super
ill.
Depressed at a motel.
Yeah.
Hope she recovers.
Well, the video shows her in the hotel room crying and, you know, saying that her family abandoned her in the wake of mental health issues. So that's pretty... you know, people who suffer from mental illness are the most vulnerable people on earth, she says.
I'm telling you, we're going to start to see more and more. The times are dark, and mental illness is only going to get
and
worse.
Suicide rate is growing.
Yep.
Now I see girls between 15 and 19, suicide rate has grown in the past 8 years. Wow.
How can it not?
Shitty.
Look at the world we live in.
Well, you know what? Look, there's always been problems. What if you were born into World War II?
I 100% think there's always been problems, but imagine if Facebook was around during World War II. Imagine, you know what I mean? It's so in your face, and we have these mini computers, you know what I'm saying? At least, like, you know, however many years ago, you could go outside, you weren't attached to this device,
right.
And you could take some hours to yourself, and you didn't, the only, you know, media form you had was the radio and the TV.
Right.
It's not like,
but you have to understand also what came with it is a lot of poverty, and, you know, they didn't have a lot of means, no technology way back
100%,
when.
100%, but I think
that. So life was tough.
Of course, but I think, you know? I would not want to be, I would rather be a teenager or when I grew up than
right.
today.
Than today, mm-hmm. absolutely. So we'll see what happens with these kids. I don't know. Rachel, thank you as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And tomorrow, I believe we have someone in the studio. I'm not sure.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we do. Some filmmakers, film, I think, nominated for Oscars. So let's see what's going on there. At any rate, folks, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.